الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home. In our last session of Darsi Hadith, we covered the brief seerah biography of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. What an outstanding Sahabi he is of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A man who would record the verses revealed to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was known to be Qatib Wahi. Qatib Wahi in Arabic would mean the scribes who would write the verses of the Quran for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also a man who was blessed with many, many supplications only done for him, exclusively for him. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said with regards to Hazrat Muawiyah, O Allah, make him a guide and a man who guides others also. And many, many dua and supplications have been awarded to this great individual, Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an. And he was most deserving to be the governor during the Khilafat of Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala an of Syria. In fact, he was also the governor during the Khilafat of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an. Now, if he was not suitable for this position to be the governor of Syria, a Sahabi, a man who was the scribe for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then who on earth can hold that position to be suitable governors during the Khilafat of Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala an. And we need to mention this, that the enemies of Islam, especially those that have been greatly influenced by the Shia sect, have this hate and enmity, a grudge against Hazrat Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala an. And when they can't find nothing wrong with this great man, the son-in-law of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they decide to come up with flimsy excuses and arguments against him. And they say, well, this was a man, aliyazu billah, who played the role of being he played the role of favoritism to his family members and appointed them to be the governors. Aliyazu billah. This is what they say. And they say, because Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an was closely related to Hazrat Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala an, that is why he remained as a governor. But what they fail to see is that he was a governor even during the time of Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an. So one should be very clear with regards to this Sahabi. He is very, very important in Islamic history. Nobody should, aliyazu billah, speak evil of this great man, Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an. Respected brothers, when we look at human history, you will always find that wherever you have a righteous man promoting good, he will always have an opposition. There will always be an obstacle. There will always be hindrance. That is dunya. The good and the bad sail together. And even, in fact, Anbiya alayhim salatu was salam were not spared. Even these great sublime individuals, like the prophets who came, Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu was salam, he was chased by the army of Fir'aun all his life. No one was spared. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu was salam could not even settle in Al-Quds They did not even allow him to have or take up residence. The Romans were after him, the army was after him, Banu Israel were after him. Some wanted to, aliyazu billah, to crucify him. Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he said, Qulu la ilaha illallah, say there is no God but Allah and salvation is for you, aliyazu billah, they would spit at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In fact, his birthplace, Makkatul Mukarrama, his own people forced him to migrate and to leave Makkatul Mukarrama and to settle in Madinatul Munawwara. So for every good individual, there is evil. And this is the pattern in the world that we live in. And if this is the condition with Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, then imagine what the condition would be with those that are awliyaullah, or those that are pious and muttaqeen of this ummah. That is why Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an was also martyred. And Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala an, for him it was never going to be easy. In fact, there's a lot of turbulence in his khilafat, a lot of difficulty. Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala an. And that is why there was always this fitna. You've always had a group of people speaking evil about Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an, and also connecting the governorship of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an with Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. And that our aqaid, our beliefs must be, mashallah, crystal clear, and we should have a simple understanding that these are Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'een. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them the certificate of Jannah in every para of the Quran. In every para of the Quran. Subhanallah ilazim. Now another man who was a thorn in the neck for these munafiqeen was the governor appointed by Hazrat Uthman bin Affan, whose name was Hazrat Abdullah ibn Amir. Abdullah ibn Amir. Again, you will find a lot of people criticizing the governorship of Abdullah ibn Amir. And they say that he was only appointed because he is related to Hazrat Osman radiallahu ta'ala. Now, first of all, if someone is related to you and if you appoint him, in which verse of the Quran does it say it's najais or it's unlawful? Even if he is related to you, so what? Alhamdulillah, there's nothing wrong with that. After Musa alayhi salam, Harun alayhi salam was the man in charge. And who was Harun to Musa alayhi salam? Brothers. Subhanallah. Zakariya alayhi salatu was salam and Yahya alayhi salam. In fact, Yaqub alayhi salam, Yusuf alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam, Ishaq alayhi salam. So to pick on Hazrat Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala an, aliyazu billah, it's very petty. But alhamdulillah, even then, we want to go through every governor that was selected by Hazrat Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala and to show you that he did not favor anyone who was related to him, but rather he only selected them thinking that they would make a significant change in the Khilafat of Islam and in promoting Islam. That was what was looked at. And it was not only the decision of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, but an entire shura was sitting in Madinatul Munawwara, and only then a governor was selected. So Abdullah ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala an, when he came to power, again rumor spread, oh, he's another man who's related to Hazrat Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala. Now he was the governor of Basra. He was the governor of Basra. Who was Abdullah ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala? This man was a sahabi of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and a very young sahabi. In fact, it is said that he was born during the fourth year of Hijri of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to Makkatul Mukarrama with the intention to do his qaza of Umrah, a lot of people were there to greet Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And some men were there there was one person who was carrying Hazrat Abdullah ibn Amir, who was just a baby, and he brought Abdullah ibn Amir in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And now Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam looked at this babe, Abdullah ibn Amir, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that, is he the son of that Sulaymi woman? What did he say? Is he the son of that Sulaymi woman? And the people, they said, Naam, Ya Rasulullah, you are right. He is the son of that Sulaymi woman. What did Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam do? The Shias and the enemies of Hazrat Uthman bin Affan and the Munafiqeen that are out there, and even these illiterate historians who've written books on history and they speak as if they know everything about Islam. Who was Abdullah ibn Amir? Abdullah ibn Amir, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam took him in his own hands and looked at Abdullah ibn Amir, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam took out from his own auspicious mouth saliva, and he put the saliva into the mouth of Abdullah ibn Amir. Can he be the wrong man to be the governor of Basra? Think about it. Can he be the wrong man? Allahu Akbar. That people criticize a man who has got a portion of the body of Rasul or something of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his stomach, and yet you find people criticizing Hazrat Uthman and Hazrat Abdullah ibn Amir, and they make a connection. And not only that, not only did Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam put the saliva into the mouth of Abdullah ibn Amir, but an incredible dua was given to him. Ajeeb wa ghareeb dua. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Allah will make you the finder of water. Allah will make you the finder of water. That means wherever Abdullah ibn Amir would go, in whichever direction, water would follow him. What does that mean? Picture the desert, barren land, everything is dry. What Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was alluding to was the fact that if he was to dig a hole in a land that is completely dry, because of the dua of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, water would gush out. And this was also a basharat, a prophecy. Implicitly, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was saying that this man has got leadership qualities in him, because wherever he goes, there's water. And Hazrat Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala an was not an ordinary man. Very clever man, a man of great wisdom. And he knew, and he would recall, that this child is a special child, though he is related to Hazrat Uthman bin Affan, because he walks with the dua and with the saliva of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And therefore, none of the companions in Madinatul Munawwara hesitated in giving him the post of being the governor of Basra. And the contribution that he did for the people of Basra, subhanallah. Now, compare Basra to Kufa, brothers. Remember, in Kufa, how many changes? 5 to 6 governors, coming, going, coming, going, coming, going. But in Basra, they loved Abdullah ibn Amir. They loved him. The minute he came, they loved him. Well accepted. Why? In a city like Basra, where once upon a time water was scarce, water was never to be found. And he made the city of Basra the city of lakes. He made that city the city of lakes. Completely changed Basra. In fact, he dug up a channel of water in the eastern side of Basra, making sure everybody has got water. And then another massive channel of water, which he named after his mother. And in fact, he would go and visit all the tribes, and the tribes would complain, oh, we haven't got water, or you haven't got water, no problem. He would dig a hole, mashallah, the dua of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, water coming out. Subhanallah, what a dua. And imagine Hazrat Uthman bin Affan making sure that Basra was a new city. A new city. And it was given to this young man, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Amir radiyallahu ta'ala an. And he's also a Sahabi, and he has also narrated one hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, the dua of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taken such an effect that if Abdullah ibn Amir was to instruct somebody else to go and dig a hole, that dua of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would even be transferred from him into that individual. And once he said to Murrah, Murrah was the freed slave of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala. And he says, I haven't got the time, I want you to go. And he says, Hazrat, you want me to dig a hole there? Will water come out? He says, yes, go there. And Murrah, the freed slave of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, he went there thinking that this is impossible. But Hazrat Abdullah ibn Amir said, no, go. And he went there and he started digging, Allahu Akbar. And there was water everywhere. A massive sort of a lake, a channel of water that was there. And so he made Basra a city of lakes. People were attracted. People were now settling into Basra. People were settling into Basra because of water. And in fact, it became the main military base for the Muslims. That was Basra. And Hazrat Abdullah ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala an was a very generous man. And not only that, he had a keen eye for agriculture. Any community that wants to be self-sufficient needs to concentrate on agriculture. Agriculture is the foundation of a strong economy. And for agriculture, you need water. And this man was full of water. So Abdullah ibn Amir, wherever he went, Subhanallah, barren lands and dry lands became fertile lands. Just say Punjab ka land. In Punjab, that's what they say, isn't it? In Punjab, that's where rice comes from, and in India, this and that. But that was Basra, Subhanallah, because of the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he was a man who would never close the doors of his residence. It was open to everyone. Anybody could come and ask from Hazrat Abdullah ibn Amir, and he would make sure that he would provide for them. In fact, he was such a generous man that he, from his own money, bought the most famous souk, the bazaar, the marketplace in Basra, which was in the city. He bought it and he made it work for the general public. So he was an incredible man. And so he was selected by Hazrat Uthman bin Affan. Though he was related to Hazrat Uthman bin Affan, but Uthman bin Affan came from a very famous family. And many of the Arabs and the tribes were related to him. So you can't actually fault Hazrat Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala an for choosing individuals who might be related to him. And so even if he was related and Hazrat Uthman bin Affan chose him to be the governor, it was on the basis of his taqwa and on the basis of the potential that Hazrat Uthman bin Affan saw inside him. So this was Abdullah ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala. We've covered Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala. Another man was Walid bin Uqba radiallahu ta'ala. Now Walid bin Uqba was the governor of Kufa. He was the governor of Kufa. He was related to Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an from the mother side. It is said that he was half the brother of Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala an from the mother side. But when he was appointed as a governor, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an said to the people of Kufa that I have not made him the governor because he is related to me, but I have made him a governor because he is related to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He is the son of Hakim, and Hakim is the paternal aunt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So that is the connection. But the people of Kufa were very evil in their nature. They would only picture right to be wrong. And they were blind from the truth that was there, and in understanding the status of Hazrat Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala an, although the position of governorship was given to Hazrat Walid bin Uqba during the Khilafat of Hazrat Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala an, But this man also played an active role during the Khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar. In fact, key positions and key post was given to Walid bin Uqba. Remember how many governors were selected by Hazrat Uthman bin Affan? 18. How many? 18. And the enemies say that 5 were related. What do they say? Only 5. And from the 5, when we see that, when we cover the entire Khilafat, there were actually not 5, there were only 3. So from 18 to have 3 governors that were related to Hazrat Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala an, is that difficult to digest? Allahu Akbar. Anyway, talking about Walid bin Uqba, who was closely related to Hazrat Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala an, the governor of Kufa, what was his post during the Khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an? In fact, he was given the most important position and post during the Khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. He was the keeper of all the military secrets during the term of Khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. Remember, the Khalifa was Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, and the man who was in charge of all the jihadi expedition was who, Hazrat? Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala an, and Khalid bin Walid would only trust Walid bin Uqba of all the military strategies and the plans that were carried out by him. He would not divulge this information to anyone. He would only pass this information to Walid bin Uqba to pass that information to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. And if Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq had to say something to Khalid bin Walid, Walid bin Uqba was chosen to go back to Khalid bin Walid to pass that information. So he was the only link between the city of Madinatul Munawwara and the battlefields. And so he was the keeper of all the military secrets. This was Walid bin Uqba radiallahu ta'ala an. Now my respected brothers, you have to be trustworthy to be given this post. Never mind being related to Hazrat Uthman bin Affan, but he was given this position during the Khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. And I want to clear this out in case shaitan is shaitan, my respected brothers. Aliyazu billah, if in the heart we feel something different of this great man, Hazrat Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala an, this could even have an impact on our iman. So we have to be very, very clear. These were great, great individuals. He was the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And secondly, during the Khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr, he was even given the responsibility to collect zakat from the tribe of Qazza. From the tribe of Qazza. Now, these posts are only given by the Khulafa to those who are extremely trustworthy. And so this was his position during the Khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. Now comes the term of Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. What position did Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab give Walid ibn Uqba? He made Walid ibn Uqba the governor for the tribe of Banu Taghlib. He made him the governor for the tribe of Banu Taghlib. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, subhanallah, he must have known something about this man to make him the governor of that tribe. It is said that the entire tribe of Banu Taghlib were Christians. All of them were Christians. 3 days ago, a lady came at our Islam Information Center, and she was inspired by our Musabai. Mushtaq, you're listening to me very carefully. Eh? She was inspired by our Musabai. Which Musabai? The one who sits on my right. And because Brother Idris here does a good service to the rest of the world by making sure that this can be relayed to everyone in the world, mashallah. When you meet people, they say that, Mauli Sahab, when you speak, who are these individuals? And a few names are taken. But Musabai's name is always mentioned, so we have to say that he is our Muazzin. So a lady came, and I'm talking on the subject that this tribe, Banu Taghlib, were all Christians. And Hazrat Umar appointed him to be the governor of that tribe. So this lady came, and she was living in the north, Yorkshire. family background, the father is a Jehovah's Witness, a strong Christian, and the mother is a white Zimbabwean racist Christian. These are her words. So I'm just listening to her at the center. I says, okay, you know. And she says that we are a family and full of faith. Everyone believes in God. But when we went to the church, it was only singing and nothing else. Fine. And she got divorced from her husband, and it's a long story to cut everything short. She wanted to apply for a job in Nottingham. She wanted to apply for a job in Nottingham, and she was somewhere in Yorkshire. So the firm in Nottingham said to her that, I'm sorry that we haven't got that vacancy that you asked for, but we have a job for you in Leicester. Subhanallah, how does Allah work? Yeah. Listen to this. How does Allah work? And she said, Leicester? Where is Leicester? She doesn't even know Leicester. But she says that I was desperate. Divorced. My mother abandoned me. And with me was only my daughter, my young daughter. And she said, yes, I need a job, and I'll take that job in Leicester. She says that I caught a train from Yorkshire to come to Leicester with everything that I had. Nothing. Only some cash money that I had. And when I came to Leicester, I did not even know where to go, where to stay, what will happen to me. And my daughter was with me. As I came out from the train station, the taxi drivers that were there, all mashallah ahu, Muslims. So she caught the taxi and she said to the taxi driver, she says that he was a man who had a beard. So I said to him that, look, I'm new to Leicester and I'm going to start a job. I have money, but I have got no place to stay. You seem to be a good man. Can you help me? And I'm a lady of faith. I want to live in an area where good people live. There's no violence, no disturbance. I don't want a house near a pub and near the city center where family people live. And so the taxi driver said, I think the best place for you to live would be next to Masjid-e Umar, Evington area, where Arif Bhai and Mushtaq Bhai lives too. MashaAllah. But of course she didn't say that. But in the Evington area. And this taxi driver, being a Muslim, phoned some of the people who he knew and says, Bhai, there's this lady, she wants a house. And Allah, Muslims have accommodations to rent. And immediately how Allah opens the door for people. And she's a Christian, huh? And alhamdulillah, immediately the house is given to her, accommodation is given to her, she settles and she's in our area. Now what happens? Every time, you know, Musa Bhai gets very excited and mashallah, he has got the voice and the azan outside. She says that I hear this man singing every day. And I would have to shut my window. What kind of a noise is this, Bhai? You know? Doesn't make sense to me. And I've come to Leicester and there's this guy singing 5 times a day. And so what happens is that I would shut the window again, because I live close to the mosque. But once I said, no, let me listen to the words of this man singing. For her it was just a song or some words being chanted. And she says that I put my head outside where the back garden window was, started to listen to the call of prayer, the words of azan. And that was changing me. Now every time someone would say Allahu Akbar, I would take out time and stop doing everything and I would listen to the azan. Subhanallah, subhanallah, and Allah gives hidayat. This is the power of azan. At first, it's different, but slowly the Quran and the Azan works with individuals. And she says, now I was inquisitive. I wanted to know the true faith. I'm a seeker. I want God to guide me to the right direction. And she says, slowly I went here, slowly I went there, slowly I went there. But she said to me, I've never had any good experience with the Muslim community. And I had to put my head down. I live amongst the Muslims, but their behavior and conduct is very different. And she said to me that I once had an argument with someone who nearly touched my car. And I said to that person that, don't you think you should be a bit careful driving? I've just bought a new car. So this Muslim man had a beard. He got very violent and says, what's up with you? What's the problem with you? And a few people ganged up on me on Evington Road. And when I looked at them, I said that, look, you know, I am a woman and I have been created from the bent rib. What did she say? I am a woman and I have been created from the bent rib. Don't you think you should respect me because women are more sensitive than men? And this Muslim man did not even know what she was talking about. But just shows how Allah gives hidayat, and now she started studying. And she says that I had already bought a translation of the Quran, and the Quran is so powerful for me that I could only read the translation in a day, 4 lines. How many lines? Nothing more than 4 lines. It was too strong for me. It was too powerful. What's a revelation? And she says, it's incredible. Only 4 lines and I would have to stop. That is it. Only 4 lines. And she came and she says, you know, I have a lot of questions, this and that. And mashallah, you know. And I spoke to her. And I said, it's high time now you accept Islam. And alhamdulillah, in that gathering, in that majlis, just a few days ago, she embraced Islam. But Allah gives hidayat. And she was, and I could just lend her my ears. And she said to me, Muhammad, or Imam Muhammad, can I tell you the most beautiful words of Prophet Muhammad? And I said, please tell me. And she said that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, and after her shahada, and some of the new Muslims, that we had a class of new Muslims at the center, and the new brothers who had embraced Islam here are also a witness that they can testify of this woman who was there at that time. And she says to me that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that a Muslim, a believer, is always in a profitable situation. For him there is no khasara. He's never at a loss. And I knew immediately what hadith she was referring to. Ajaban li amri al-mu'min. And she said, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, and she would say peace be on him, that if difficulty comes to a believer, then he is patient. And for being patient, he is rewarded. And if anything good comes to him, he is grateful to his Lord. And for that, he is also rewarded. And she says, this has touched my heart. What a great man he is. That is Islam. My respected brothers, Allah does not need us. Allah does not need us. We need him. And if we don't respect the Quran and the laws of Sharia, Allah can easily replace us. And so we should be muhtaj. And we should be entirely dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be grateful on him. And so, and when she accepted shahada, I am in the house of Allah, tears were flowing out from her eyes. Ro rahi thi ye khatoon. And she's not an ordinary woman, a lady who's highly educated. Subhanallah. So we have a mission, my respected brothers. I just thought I'll convey this message to you, alhamdulillah, of the tribe of Banu Taghlib. And Walid bin Uqba was an excellent da'i. What was he? Da'i. And Hazrat Umar, the foresight that he had, appointed him as the governor amongst the Christians. And in a few months, the entire Banu Taghlib tribe embraced Islam. All of them embraced Islam. And it was this brilliance that Hazrat Osman bin Affan had seen in Walid bin Uqba, though he was related to Hazrat Osman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala an, that compelled him to select Walid bin Uqba as a governor, not because of any relationship. It was on the basis of ikhlas. But were the people of Kufa to let Walid bin Uqba live in Kufa in a peaceful manner? Never. Because of their dislike of Hazrat Uthman bin Affan. And in fact, they staged up this incident and falsely accused him of drinking alcohol, as we had covered. And in fact, the story goes that because he was a da'i, he would do a lot of da'wah. And there was a new convert, a revert to Islam, whose name was Abu Zubayd. Whose name was Abu Zubayd. Now, he came once to Hazrat Walid bin Uqba, and he was in that state of being completely drunk. Because he was a new Muslim, he probably had this habit of drinking wine. And he came, and he could not walk. Now, when people saw him entering the house of Walid bin Uqba, quickly those that were against Hazrat Walid bin Uqba gathered around, and they started spreading rumors that Walid bin Uqba drinks, aliyazu billah, wine, alcohol with these new Muslims, Abu Zubayd. And this news was even given to Hazrat Uthman bin Affan in Madinatul Munawwara, and very quickly two individuals were prepared to falsely testify that we saw Walid bin Uqba drinking alcohol and also vomiting. And both of them, one's name was Abu Zainab and the other person's name was Abu Muwara. And both of them went to Madinatul Munawwara and they said to Hazrat Uthman that we are a witness, we've seen it with our eyes. Hazrat Walid bin Uqba said to Hazrat Uthman bin Affan, I can take an oath, I have not touched alcohol. And Hazrat Uthman knew, but because there were two witnesses, Hazrat Uthman said that I have no choice but to enforce on you the Sharia, the Had punishment, but be patient, O my brother. What did he say to Walid bin Uqba? Be patient, O my brother. And Hazrat Uthman looked at those two individuals and cursed them, and he said that may the curse and the la'nat of Allah be on those who falsely testify. Who falsely testify. But the Had punishment was enforced, and eventually he had to also move out from this position of this post to be the governor. So this was Walid bin Uqba, the man who was the keeper of the military secrets during the Khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. He was the best individual to be the governor of Kufa. And of course, the other individual who was very closely related also was Hazrat Abdullah ibn Sa'ad. Abdullah ibn Sa'ad. He was the governor of Egypt after Hazrat Amr ibn As radiallahu ta'ala. And we remember Abdullah ibn Sa'ad, who was he? He was given the position to be the governor of Egypt because he knew the Egyptians really well. He knew the ins and outs of Egypt. He was well acquainted with the people of Egypt, and he played an important role with Hazrat Amr ibn As in the jihad of Egypt, conquering Egypt. So Hazrat Uthman gave him this position, though he was related to Hazrat Uthman bin Affan, not by blood ties, but through breastfeeding. He was related to Hazrat Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala. Now, who was Abdullah ibn Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala? The man who fought for North Africa, and the man who conquered the city of Subaytullah, remember? And Abdullah ibn Zubair killed Jarjir. But who was the man in charge for that jihad? Abdullah ibn Sa'ad, a great mujahid. And Abdullah ibn Sa'ad was the same man who fought also in the battle of the Mediterranean Sea. And the son of Heracle, Constantine, was killed by the people when he ran away. And he was the man also, Abdullah ibn Sa'ad was the man in charge of that jihad. And history testifies that the most difficult fights or jihad for the Muslims was to fight against the Nubians. The Nubians was an area, a very open area under Egypt. These people were experts in archery, and they would shoot the arrows and would target the eyes only. When the Muslims first decided to wage jihad against them, a great portion of Muslim mujahideen were blinded. The Muslims were no match and no equal to fight these Nubians. The Nubians were experts. These were warriors and fighters. Very quickly the Muslims had to come out. And nobody could conquer that part of the region. That is just under Egypt. And it was only Abdullah ibn Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala an which eventually subdued the Nubians, and the Nubians agreed to pay jizya to the Islamic Khilafat. And they also came under the banner of Islam. These were the works of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Sa'd. And he was also an appointed governor of Egypt by Hazrat Osman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala. And we stop at that, my respected brothers. It's better to go by stages. Just to clear the air so we understand that it was not favoritism by Hazrat Osman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala an, but rather on the basis of taqwa, and rather on the basis to spread Islam and to promote Islam, and who Hazrat Osman felt that he is most competent and worthy to be the governor, only then that position was given. And Hazrat Osman did not even hesitate in dismissing anyone from that position, even if he was related to Hazrat Osman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward this great son-in-law of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and bless him in abundance. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Sami'na wa atana ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.